From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Mary Graybar, a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization and the author of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
Welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast, and today is very, very significant. I want to begin by saying something about Columbus, and you'll see why in just a moment. Back in 1912, President William Howard Taft presided over the unveiling of the Columbus Memorial at Washington's Union Station. If we fast forward some 70 years, 1981, President Ronald Reagan lauded Columbus as a brilliant navigator, as a fearless man of action, as a visionary who opened the eyes of an older world to an entirely new world, as a man who personified a view of the world to an entirely new one, and above all, as a man who personifies a view of the world that many see as quintessentially American, not merely optimistic, but scornful of the very notion of despair. Think about today. Today, millions of Americans, particularly young Americans, view Columbus from an entirely different vantage point. His statues, his images, his very recollection sparks anger and outrage and carnage. Just this past Columbus Day, you might recall that demonstrators toppled statues of Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt in Portland. The headlines in USA Today summed up the carnage. I'll never forget these headlines that said, "Portland protesters knocked down Roosevelt Lincoln statues in rage toward what? Toward Columbus Day." Protest organizers dubbed the event Indigenous People's Day of Rage. They threw chains around Roosevelt's statue. They threw red paint on the monument. They used a blowtorch on the statue's base. And then after toppling the statues, the hordes began smashing windows at the Oregon Historical Society. So here's the question. What could possibly motivate American citizens, supposed exemplars of social justice, to behave with such wanton recklessness in a supposed era of wokeness and progressive values? That question was foremost in my mind as I prepared to do a Bible Answer Man broadcast in commemoration of Columbus Day 2020. Why? Because I wanted my audience to join me in celebrating the founding of our great nation. So early that morning, I engaged in a Google exploration in order to provide my audience with color commentary on a brilliant navigator, on a visionary, on a Christian icon intent on spreading the message of Christ to those he encountered in a new world. But in page after page after page of Google exploration, an entirely different Columbus emerged. It was a couple of hours at least of reading, I began to wonder whether my perception of Columbus was entirely unrealistic. The picture that emerged from my Google exploration was that of a nefarious character, of a ruthless, money-grubbing, genocidal maniac who severed hands, who raped women, who enslaved gentle people to satisfy a white supremacist lust for gold and glory. It wasn't long until my Google exploration revealed an excerpt from a book titled Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. If Mary Graybar, the author of this book, was to be believed, much of what I had read online, and that for hours and hours, had its genesis in the pontifications of a man named Howard Zinn. Think about the power of one man affecting so many people. Well, anyway, I ordered the book and I began to read, and what I discovered explains much of what we are experiencing right now in America. Anti-American revisionist history that, in Dr. Mary Graber's words, has succeeded in persuading large swaths of American people to despise their country, to despise Western civilization, to despise America. Well, Mary Graber is a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization. She earned her PhD in English from the University of Georgia, and she has taught at the college level for 20 years or more, most recently at Emory University, and she was born in Slovenia. And Slovenia was still part of the communist Yugoslavia. She's the author of many publications, including one of the most important books I've read this year, a book titled Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. And she is my guest today. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here. That was an amazing story.
Well, it's exactly what happened to me. I mean, I actually, as I was doing my research, I started doubting my own interpretation of history. I started wondering, have I swallowed the Kool-Aid? Have I developed some false idea about Christopher Columbus? I mean, it was so compelling. And the narrative was always very, very much the same. And I kept going through one entry after another. And I spent couple of hours on this, and then finally I came across your article.
Well, I want to ask you, how many pages down was it, like 1,000-something?
Well, I don't know exactly how many pages, but it was a lot of pages. I remember thinking, I've gone through 10 or 20 pages in my Google exploration. So, yeah, I mean, the narrative is ubiquitous on the web. And I guess that leads me to the first question I want to talk to you about today, and that is, how has Howard Zinn succeeded in the Zinnification of history?
Well, Howard Zinn, who died in 2010, was quite a phenomenon. He was a celebrity radical and, incidentally, a historian. And so he rode the wave of celebrity-dom. He purported to be leading students on civil rights protests while he was teaching at Spelman College. And then after he was kicked out there, he went to Boston University and led them on anti-Vietnam War protests, which were really protests in support of Ho Chi Minh, who, you know, Howard Zinn saw as, you know, the exemplar of democracy. So, you know, when he wrote his book, People's History of the United States, and it came out in 1980, you know, think about that, over 40 years ago, he had been in the news quite a bit. He had went on a mission to North Vietnam to bring back American prisoners of war. He was at the forefront of protests. He was debating Bill Buckley. He was in the news, and so he got a head start. And as I expose in my book, and it was much to my shock as I read it, he plagiarized from a book for high school students by one of his radical anti-Vietnam War pals, another socialist, and took the credit for it. And, you know, anytime you pick up a news article or look at a news article about Columbus Day, you have reporters basically quoting the Zen version as if it were established history. And, you know, there's no question about it. So he was quite a marketing guru for the radical communist view. And as I also discovered, is that, you know, his story of Christopher Columbus, along with everything else he says about American history, is basically the version that has been put out by Marxists and communists from Karl Marx on down to William Z. Foster. But it's become accepted truth, and it's what Google promotes.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Mary Graybar. Although Howard Zinn died a decade ago, his books and radical activism continue to poison the soul of our country, ravaging the hearts and minds of American students. In fact, if your kids or grandkids or those of your neighbors believe that Columbus Day celebrates a genocidal maniac, they're under the spell of Howard Zinn. Lies advance when people are incapable of recognizing and defending truth. And with our schools becoming indoctrination centers for leftist ideologies, voices of truth must be clear and persuasive. In her thoroughly researched book, Debunking Howard Zinn, scholar Mary Graybar demolishes Zinn's Marxist talking points that dominate American education. To receive your copy of Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned Degeneration Against America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, scholar Mary Graybar, in their conversation.
You know, his story of Christopher Columbus, along with everything else he says about American history, is basically the version that has been put out by Marxists and communists from Karl Marx on down to William Z. Foster. But it's become accepted truth, and it's what Google promotes. And, you know, we're seeing the clampdown of the tech industries right now, and, you know, they've been at it for a while, and it's a very, very dangerous thing. And if you're sitting there, you know, someone who's an adult and knowledgeable in history, and you're starting to doubt yourself, just think about a 15-year-old who's writing a report for a class and is Googling this or has been assigned Howard Zinn's book. And that's why you've got these young, enraged people who are out on the streets and, you know, doing what you described they did in Portland.
You know, I want you to address this from the standpoint of what you're alluding to right now, from the standpoint of the entertainment industry, the educational industry, the environmental industry, other industries as well. I've often said that the problem ultimately is not fixed at the ballot box. The ballot box is necessary, but it's insufficient. Despotism, revisionist history are not magically redeemed by political victories. Even during the Reagan Revolution, illiberal liberalism held sway in all kinds of our cultural institutions, and they're disseminating information and ideological constructs that are driving Western civilization in a very dangerous direction. And the reason I bring this up, Mary, is in the beginning of your book, you bring up Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, and I've heard this personally from people who said that they first heard about Howard Zinn from that 1997 movie that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck wrote and starred in called Good Will Hunting. And Howard Zinn's book is featured prominently in that movie. So Will Hunting, played by Matt Damon, is a troubled 20-year-old lower class, white, working class guy who works as a janitor at MIT. But of course, because of, you know, the the class structure of American society, according to the script, you know, he is unrecognized until finally, you know, he meets a professor there, and then he's sent to therapy so he can get over the trauma of his childhood. He was abused as a child, and as he is in the office, he's looking around and notices these books on a shelf, and one is a multi-volume history of the United States. And then he tells the psychiatrist, played by Robin Williams, you know, kind of sneers at that title and says, if you want to read a real history book, you know, read Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States. That book will knock you off your you-know-what. And so there was a prominent role there for Howard Zinn, and that launched him into, you know, even more stardom in 1997. Now, the personal history between Matt Damon and Howard Zinn is that Matt Damon grew up next door to the Zinns, and Howard Zinn's book came out in 1980 when Matt Damon was 10 years old. And his mother, who was a professor, I believe at Lehigh University, was also a progressive leftist. And, you know, she's the one who probably got him a copy of Howard Zinn's book. And he was taken in as a 10-year-old and on Columbus Day presented this report to his class about, you know, who Columbus really was. And so you've got Matt Damon, who as a young child is already, you know, brainwashed. And I guess apparently on a personal level, you know, he liked the Zins, Howard Zinn brags that they fed him cookies. But as a result of that friendship, Howard Zinn's book gets a prominent place in an award-winning movie. And so it's a kind of a personal connection there. And of course, you know, what you have in that movie is this message that a genius, because this guy really is a genius, the Matt Damon character, a genius recommends Howard Zinn's book. And so, you know, the message to the audience watching this is, well, this is, you know, the book to beat all history books. And if you read it, that's all you need to know. The others are false. And of course, Howard Zinn, within the pages of A People's History, promotes that message. He knocks down other historians and he says, you know, these guys were all wrong. They had these white supremacist motivations, and I'm going to tell you the truth. But of course, it's not the truth. It's all a bunch of lies.
Yeah, and I think what's so important about your book, I mean, when you think about debunking Howard Zinn, you're thinking about a man, but the significance of your work is that you are talking about a person who succeeded in convincing an entire generation of Americans that the nation Abraham Lincoln called the last best hope of earth is essentially a racist criminal enterprise that's built on murdering Indians, on exploiting slaves, on oppressing the working man and woman, and that it has to be replaced by something better, by a classless, egalitarian society. And when we're talking about Zinn, we're really talking about someone who is exploiting Marxist ideology.
Yes. Well, Howard Zinn actually was a member of the Communist Party. You know, just think about, you know, all the communists who were passing around secrets and risking their lives and currying messages and, you know, passing on money from the Soviet Union and meeting at dark street corners and, you know, doing espionage. You know, think about all the harm they did. Well, Howard Zinn, according to the analysis by Ron Radosh, the historian and former member of the Communist Party, his analysis of the FBI files of Howard Zinn, he comes to the conclusion that Howard Zinn was indeed a member of the Communist Party USA, and he was a member from around 1948 to 1953. So, you know, he was very successful in terms of doing what the Soviet Union wanted a good communist to do, and that was to turn Americans against their own country and to believe that a communistic form of government is more just and is a better form of government. And the upshot of reading Howard Zinn's book is that there is a message there, that there is a way to finally make this country right, make it a real democracy. And the way to do that is to overthrow the government and institute a communistic, socialistic, anarchistic government in its place. And so as a propagandist of the communist message, Howard Zinn was very, very successful. Now, you know, the average reader, you know, the teenager who has been assigned this book in class may not necessarily make the direct connection to, oh, yeah, the Communist Manifesto, you know, this is what this book is promoting. But he does have the sense that there is something fundamentally wrong with this country. It's unjust. It has made so many people suffer, and that it needs to be overturned. And so you have this sort of mass hysteria that we saw this summer with these hordes of young people who've been educated with this poisonous view of history, just, you know, irrationally attacking everything, you know, any any marker of American history. You know, even the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln. It's really astounding, but that is the fruit of Howard Zinn's book, which has also been spread in many other ways in addition to being used as a textbook. And so we saw the outcome this summer, and we're seeing it still. I mean, you know, these protests haven't ended in Portland. I mean, it's still going on. It's really unbelievable in a way.
Yeah, you know, what's really profound, I think, about your book is that you expose the rhetorical tricks that are used by Howard Zinn, the use of ellipses, to have Christopher Columbus in his own logs say something entirely different than what he actually said.
We've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America, by Mary Graybar. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.